Hello again, everybody. I'm Barry Slinker, and welcome to a special extended Good Friday edition of the Classic Radio Hour. Today's extended edition features three classic episodes from The Greatest Story Ever Told, an old-time radio series based on the life of Jesus Christ. The following episodes will tell the story of The Last Supper, The Betrayal, The Crucifixion, and The Resurrection. All this can be heard today on this extended edition of the Classic Radio Hour, coming to you right now, brought to you by Old Time Radio USA and TalkShoe.com.
It was the time of the Passover feast, a good time of the year. A time of the year for gaining new strength and new inspiration. And yet, something was not right. Some shadow hung over the 12 of us as we followed our beloved Jesus to Jerusalem.
The Passover feast comes in the spring. It is a Jewish festival that celebrates the freedom of the Jews from Egypt. People were arriving in Jerusalem dressed in their holiday clothes and in a gay holiday mood. All the inns were full. Every home had visiting friends and relatives. People were even camped on the hills outside the city. As Jesus and his disciples moved nearer to Jerusalem, Peter, perhaps more than any of the others, began to feel the weight of Christ's solemnity. Not only was his heart heavy with some unspeakable doubt, but he was also afraid.
John.
Yes, Peter?
Ever since we left Galilee, I felt some fear hanging over us. Don't you feel it?
Well, it's true. Jesus seems sad, but...
Don't you notice something strange about his actions?
No, not really. I mean, nothing unusual. Why, are you suggesting he had a prophecy of some sort? Of danger waiting for us in Jerusalem?
Perhaps. But I don't think it has to do so much with us as a group.
I don't follow you, Peter.
Remember what he said to us before we started out on this journey.
There were so many things. You're not referring to the time we tried to stop the children from coming to him?
Yes.
But all he said was, "Let them come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like them." I don't see anything unusual about...
But didn't you notice something strange when he said that to us?
And his eyes were very bright.
I felt a new strong purpose in him.
Yes. Yes, I felt it too, Peter. You're right. Something is strange. Something is hanging over us.
Peter! John!
It's your brother Andrew, Peter.
Something's wrong.
Peter! John! Quickly!
What is it, Andrew?
Andrew, you look sick. You're pale and trembling. What is it?
Oh, Peter... Jesus just spoke to us. You should have heard what he said.
What could he have said that would make you feel this way?
It was an answer he gave to a request by your mother, John.
My mother?
Yes.
But what could she...
It was a request in your behalf, John, and also your brother James.
Well, tell me, what did my mother ask of Jesus?
Oh, wait. Here she comes now. Let her tell it to you herself.
Mother, what's happened?
John! John, I've done such an awful thing. I'm so sorry I did it now.
Mother, what was it you asked of Jesus?
I asked him to place you on his right hand and James on his left when the kingdom of God comes.
Mother?
Well, she was only thinking of you and your brother, John. Jesus understood.
But to ask him to favor James and myself above our brothers...
Oh, I realize that now, and I beg the forgiveness of you all.
There was some grumbling from us when he heard the request, and... That's when Jesus turned his anger on us.
He was angry?
Yes. He said, "Can't you understand what I've been trying to teach you? If you wish to be great, then stop thinking of ruling or commanding. Live to help others, to serve others, to give your life for others. That is the best I can offer you, the same fate that will come to me."
He said that? The same fate that will come to me?
Yes.
Is that what you heard too, Mother?
Yes, John. And more, too.
What more, Mother?
When I made my foolish request to him, He looked at me a moment and then said, "Will your sons be able to drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with?"
What could he mean by that, Peter?
Just a moment, Andrew. Mother, what did you reply?
I said both of you could. And that's when he said this very strange thing. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and there the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. And...
Yes, yes, what else did he say?
He said that they will condemn him to death and then deliver him to the Gentiles.
Peter, I'm afraid.
You too, Andrew. You feel it too?
There was another thing he said. I just don't understand it.
Tell it to us, Andrew.
Jesus said that they will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise.
We went on towards Jerusalem, and every step of the way sharpened the feeling of dread that hung over us. John, my brother Andrew, and I walked alone together.
Something has occurred to me, but I'm almost afraid to speak of it.
Say what's on your mind.
Well, do you think Jesus might proclaim himself as the Messiah?
In Jerusalem?
Yes.
In front of the high priests and the scribes?
I'm inclined to agree with my brother.
But this is the Passover feast.
Precisely, the feast of freedom. And would it not be an ideal time to announce that all people can be free, if only they really believe in God?
You know how Jesus thinks, John.
Besides, even if Jesus does as you say, what harm can it do? Think of all the people who will be there, people who are fond of Jesus, believe in him. The high priests wouldn't dare touch a hair of his head with so many people around.
I hope so, John. I hope so.
Look, how proudly Jesus walks there ahead of us. Proudly, unafraid, firm. Who would dare hurt him?
I would give my life for him.
But even as we walked on towards Jerusalem, there was something taking place in the city. A secret meeting between the high priest Caiaphas and his men.
Why can't we stop him? Has this Jesus become our chief that we shake and tremble at the very mention of his name?
No, Caiaphas, but he is popular with the people.
That's because we've allowed him to go too far, too much freedom.
What would you suggest?
Well, it's true. If we try to touch him on the day of the feast, the people might riot. So we must arrest him before the day of the feast.
There is another way.
Well? Well, what other way?
I've been approached by someone who wants to speak with you.
Who?
I promised not to mention his name just yet, but I can say he is one of the 12.
One of the apostles? Jesus' own disciples?
Yes, Caiaphas.
Get him here. Bring him to me.
He will come to us, he said, in his own time.
All right. I can wait. For such a treachery, I can certainly wait.
We were by now quite near to Jerusalem. We could see the walls of the city and the buildings and even the golden towers of the temple shining in the sun. Jesus was riding on a colt, and this in itself was part of the whole strangeness, that he should want to ride into Jerusalem after having walked all the way from Galilee. Word had already reached the people that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, and when he appeared before them, a great excitement arose.
But Jesus,
blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
People lined the way. They ran in front of Jesus as he rode on the colt.
They threw their cloaks on the ground and cut palm branches and tossed them in Jesus' way. It was a truly glorious greeting. When we came to the gates of the temple, we entered the outer court. The sight that greeted our eyes made us think we were in the marketplace. Traders were busy selling birds and animals to people who wanted to make sacrificial offerings. The money changers were rattling coins stacked high on their tables. Jesus stood a long time, watching all this, saying nothing. And then suddenly... Jesus turned over the tables and money scattered all over as Jesus cried out to them, "How dare you carry on your business in the temple?" There was a complete silence. And then Jesus said, "My house is the house of prayer. And you have made it a den of thieves."
Oh,
what does he mean by that?
Just a moment here. How dare you do such a thing? By whose authority do you do it?
It was Caiaphas. He was trying to trick Jesus into making treasonous statements. But Jesus wasn't there to be fooled. "Answer this question for me," Jesus said. "And if you do, I will tell you what you want to know."
"All right. Ask your question."
Jesus smiled as he said, "Was the baptism of John from heaven or of men?"
What kind of a question is that?
Caiaphas was worried by this question. I could see that. Whichever way he answered, it would put him in bad with the people who were listening to every word.
I cannot answer that question.
And Jesus smiled again as he said, "Then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
"Are you playing games with me, Jesus? If you are, answer this. Is it lawful for us to give taxes to Caesar?"
Immediately, Jesus saw through this. If he answered no, it was a treasonable answer. If he answered yes, the people would hate him as much as they hated paying tribute to Caesar.
"Well, are you afraid to answer?"
Jesus said, "Whose image is on a penny?"
"Caesar's, naturally."
And then Jesus said, "The coin belongs to Caesar. Give Caesar what belongs to him, but give to God what belongs to God." Jesus had caught Caiaphas in his own trap. Money belongs to the world's rulers. But love and our first allegiance belong to God. This was what Jesus meant by his answer. Caiaphas saw that he was defeated and left in a great anger. And I felt a chill through my very bones.
Imagine making me, the high priest, the laughingstock in front of all the people.
It would have been dangerous to do anything to Jesus at that moment, Caiaphas.
Well, I'm sick of it. I won't have any more of it. Jesus must be destroyed. He endangers our way of life. Now, where is this,
Shh. That might be. Yes. Yes, it is he.
So. You finally come. And what is your name?
Judas Iscariot.
That night, 12 of us sat around the supper table with Jesus. An air of uneasiness hung over the room. And as we ate, Jesus said something that sent a shudder through the room.
Did you hear what he said, Peter?
I think so. He said, "One of us has betrayed him to those who want to kill him."
No.
But it was true. Jesus said, "One of us now eating at this table had betrayed him."
Is it I, Jesus?
Judas had spoken, and Jesus looked at him a moment,
and then said directly to Judas, "You have spoken." A great sorrow fell upon us in the room. Judas Iscariot departed. We sat at the table as Jesus broke the unleavened bread and said, "All of you will run away from me tonight. I will be alone."
"No, Master, never."
I protested the loudest, but Jesus turned to me and said, "Peter, you will leave me too. Before the rooster crows tomorrow at dawn, you will deny me 3 times.
All right, soldier. You ready?"
"Yes, Captain."
"You know exactly what to do?"
"As soon as this Judas fellow kisses the master, I arrest him."
"Exactly. And make no mistake, it's important."
"There'll be no mistakes, Captain. Besides you, Caiaphas and this Judas person will be there."
"All right, then. Let's go."
The night had gone badly for us. We had left the room and were in the garden on the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane. Jesus was off by himself, praying, and I was with John, and he saw how depressed I was.
"Don't brood so, Peter."
I can't help it. You heard what Jesus said to me."
"Yes, this is a strange night. Terribly strange night. Look how Jesus prays.
As if he is in agony."
"Yes. I really am afraid, Peter."
"So am I. But how could Jesus have said to me that I would deny him 3 times? How could he have said that to me?"
"Shh. Do you hear something?"
"Yes. Yes, what is it? Look."
"Master. Master, I kiss the master."
I was in a daze. I was too stunned by what had happened. Before I realized anything, everyone was gone. I had to catch up with them. They had taken away the Son of Man. I had promised him I would not falter. Where was God's kingdom now, if Jesus was a prisoner of the high priest? What would happen to Jesus? I was in a courtyard, cold, numb, trying to warm my hands over a fire. It was the courtyard of the high priest. Suddenly, a servant woman came up and looked into my face.
"You are one of Jesus' men, aren't you?"
"Huh? I don't know what you're talking about."
"I'm sure you are."
"I'm not. I'm not."
"I'm sure you are. Guard! Guard, this man is with Jesus."
"I tell you I'm not. What are you talking about?"
You talk like a Galilean."
"I tell you, I don't even know this man you're talking about. I don't even..." I heard it. We all heard the rooster crowing as Jesus had said. Just as he said, I would deny him 3 times.
That is the story of the Last Supper of Jesus and his disciples. When next they ate together, Jesus had suffered at the hands of man and had been raised up by God from the dead. It marked the end of Jesus Christ's life on earth, but the beginning of his life forever after.
We've got more episodes of The Greatest Story Ever Told on this special edition of the Classic Radio Hour coming to you right after this.
say to me, won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journey over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, Skylark, I don't know if you can find this thing, but my heart is riding on your way. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
Welcome back to this extended edition of the Classic Radio Hour, featuring episodes from The Greatest Story Ever Told. We continue on now with an episode called The Betrayal, right here on Old Time Radio USA and TalkShoe.com.
The Greatest Story Ever Told. Tonight we present The Betrayal, the first in a series of three Lenten dramas, The Betrayal, The Crucifixion, and The Resurrection, based upon episodes in the greatest life ever lived. The city of Jerusalem is crowded today, for not only is this the beginning of the great feast of the Passover, but the Master is expected. And preceding him has come the strange and inspiring story of the raising of Lazarus. High on the city wall stand the most curious, looking down as the procession of dusty travelers enters the city gates.
So many people, David. I've never seen such a crowd in Jerusalem before.
More than a million people, Stephen. All to greet the Master.
And they're all carrying palm leaves. Why? Is that him, the one on the donkey approaching the gate now?
Yes, Stephen, it must be.
But how do you know? I thought that he would look like a prince, a king even.
It's his eyes. Can't you tell by looking in his eyes how calm and understanding he is?
And I thought he would look like a king.
My mother said you'd never find such peace in a king's eyes.
His donkey's going through the city gate now.
Come to the other side of the wall. We'll see how the people inside the city greet him.
Palms. They're spreading the palms before him. I've never seen that done before.
No one has ever seen a day like this in Jerusalem before.
Those 12 men with him.
His 12 disciples.
See the way the people follow him. They love him. You can see that.
Yes. the people love him. But that may not be enough.
Why not? Why shouldn't it be enough?
You're young, Stephen. You've a great deal to learn. Perhaps you will before you're many days older.
Oh, John, it did my heart good to hear them cheering the master. You could tell by their cheers that they believe in him now.
Peter, were there ever cheers for one man that didn't disturb other men?
The Romans?
The Romans. And those few traitors among our people who collaborate with them. It's that tight little band of powerful men who run this country and exploit our people. To them, the cheers we heard for the master today will have ugly echoes.
Let them try anything. I have my sword. I'll cut out the heart of the first man who lays a hand on him.
Threatening again, Peter.
I'm sorry, John. We better get on with the preparations for the feast tonight. The master asked that all 12 of us eat the Paschal lamb with him.
Yes, we had better help with the preparations. But, Peter, I...
Yes, John?
Perhaps I'm mistakenly afraid. Forget about it. Let's prepare for tonight.
Well, Annas, did you see it? Didn't I tell you it'd happen? This Nazarene's a menace. You admit that?
Yes, I suppose so, Caiaphas.
You suppose so? Didn't you see it with your own eyes? This isn't just another prophet. I've seen prophets in Jerusalem streets who are looked on as beggars. This man is far more dangerous than that.
What my daughter ever saw in you, Caiaphas, I don't know. But certainly it was not your brain, my dear son-in-law.
Oh, how can you sit there so calmly? This man is dangerous to us.
Us, Caiaphas. I have ruled here in Jerusalem for a great many years. 7 times high priest. I made my 6 sons high priest. And now you, my son-in-law. But I still rule, even though you hold the empty honor of the office. Yes. I'll decide who's dangerous. Forget the Nazarene. Let this thing run its course. So they cheer him. In a week, they'll forget him.
You can't put me off so easily. You may travel around under false dignity and deceive yourself, but not me. After all, what are we? Nothing but messengers for the Romans here.
Well-paid messengers, you must grant. But go on. Your excursion into truth has fascinating possibilities.
Let the people groan. Let them complain that they're slaves of Rome. We know better. There's double tyranny here. Rome is at the top, yes, but right beneath them, we stand.
Caiaphas, it's coming close to the holiday eve. Forget this whole thing for a while. After that, we can talk about it if you still insist.
Once the holiday is over, it may do no good to talk. You better listen to me now.
Oh, well.
We must be practical about this. We made our deal with the Romans. They want taxes and tranquility, and we promised to deliver that to them.
And haven't we?
So far.
Well, then?
That Nazarene. That one for whom they paved the street with palm leaves. That man is our enemy. Our percentages from taxes, the money we make from sales of doves and lambs for sacrifice in the temple. We stand to lose all that if he's allowed to expose us.
I repeat, pay him no attention and the people will forget about him.
Forget about... Did you hear what he did this morning in the temple? He overturned the tables of the money changers and he told the people that they don't have to buy doves and lambs from us for sacrifice anymore.
No more sacrifices?
No.
Our whole business endangered? That's going too far. Maybe you're right.
Just as I say, we must get rid of this Nazarene.
Well, what do you propose?
I've done more than propose.
You've taken steps?
Of course.
Well?
This.
Bag of silver. What for?
It's simple.
Don't smile. Talk.
Among 12 men, any 12 men, there must be at least one who's vulnerable.
Is there?
Yes. And I found him.
How much?
For 30 pieces of silver.
30?
Little enough, isn't it?
Indeed.
And the name of this vulnerable person?
The name? I'd almost forgotten. His name is, Judas.
Shall I place the chalice here, John?
Yes, Peter, at the Master's place. The Master has never made such special preparations before, Peter.
I know. But we must do as we are told. Didn't we meet the man just as the Master said we would? And when he asked the man for this upper room in his house on Mount Zion in which to have this supper, didn't the man agree without a word?
Yes, Peter, but that's all part of the mystery. Why all these special preparations? If it were just for the Passover, who is there?
It's only I. May I help with the preparations?
Of course, Judas. The Master will be here soon.
Good, I'll help with the dishes.
Something wrong, Judas?
What? No, nothing wrong. The plate it just slipped out of my hand.
Then you must feel it too.
Feel it? Feel what?
This strange thing in the air.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Judas. I didn't mean to alarm you.
John thinks something's going to happen tonight. He has a feeling.
Well, I can't agree with him.
Please, Judas. Nothing to become so wrought up about.
I'm sorry.
Now, let's get on with things.
Oh, here come the rest.
Welcome, brothers. We are all here now, all 12 of us. Come, let us take our places at the table. And now when the Master arrives, we shall begin the supper.
Now that we've gathered here at the supper, what will the Master do?
I don't know, Peter.
I'm beginning to sense that feeling you spoke of.
There is something in his eyes that was not there before. Wait, he's reaching for a basin.
Oh, here, Master. Here's the basin. And a pitcher of water. Very strange, John.
Peter, he's kneeling before you.
He's going to... Wait, Master, wait. Do you wash my feet? I should wash yours.
What I do, you know not. But you shall know hereafter.
No, Master. You shall never wash my feet.
If I wash you not, you have no part of me.
Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Master. Master.
Was there ever a man who showed greater humility?
And now, he is beginning to wash the feet of the others, too.
Yes, Peter. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the master.
master is troubled, John. What did he mean before when he said he desired to eat his Passover with us?
Before he suffers, he knows a great deal more than he has told us, Peter.
I've come to believe as you have. There is something evil in the air.
Wait. He's saying a blessing over the bread now. He's beginning to break the bread into small pieces.
Yes. And see how many pieces.
How many? Wait. 10, 11, 12. 12 pieces.
One for each of us. I'd better help him distribute them.
This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.
But, Master...
Eat, Peter. The chalice, Peter. He's reaching for it. Fill it for him.
Yes, John.
It's blessed now. Take it. Pass it for each man to drink.
Yes, John.
This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me.
Is it I, Lord?
Is it I, Lord?
Is it I, Lord?
Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table.
Judas! John, did you see? Judas' hand. It was on the table. He tried to remove it quickly and knocked the dish to the floor.
Wait, Peter.
Judas. He's going.
That which you do, do quickly, Judas.
We should stop Judas, John. We must.
Wait, Peter. If the master had wanted Judas stopped, wouldn't he have said so?
But you heard it just as I heard it. He said that Judas was going to betray him.
Can you object if the master doesn't?
Oh, John, this is wrong, all wrong. We should do something.
We should do what we've pledged ourselves to do. Follow the master's words. Wait, Peter.
All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.
No, Lord, no. Whoever may be offended because of you, I will not. I will go to prison with you. I will even go to death with you. Believe me, Master. Believe me.
I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times.
No, Master. If I should die with you, I would still not deny you. Not in any way, Master. Not in any way.
That must be the one I'm expecting, Annas.
Well, let him in, Caiaphas. If we must do this, let's have it done.
You still don't believe this is the right way?
Do you?
I'd better let him in. Well, come in. Annas, this is the man I told you about. The only one of the 12 that has any sense.
Let's not have so much talk.
What's the matter, Judas?
Nothing. Only what we have to do, let's do it quickly, just as he said.
Who said?
No one. What do you want me to do now?
Tell us where we can find him.
I will take you to him when it is dark.
Well, how will we know him in the dark?
I will point him out to you.
How?
How? I don't know.
That was part of the bargain.
Well, He will... I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll tell you how. You'll go to him and kiss him and greet him.
Yes, that's it.
I'll do it. The soldiers will be there?
My own personal guard.
Then it's done.
And here's your money.
Now, get out.
Ah. See how easy it is?
You picked one with a weak stomach. Did you see his face when you tossed the coins to him?
Well, tell me, Annis, what kind of a face should a traitor have?
A traitor? Well, it might be a smiling face. Even a laughing face. With no creases in the forehead. That's a traitor for you.
Well, why are you looking at me that way?
How else could I describe your face so exactly?
Yes, well, you've had enough fun at my expense, but one of these days you'll thank me for this.
Do you realize, Caiaphas, that if you carry this thing through, you'll have innocent blood on your hands?
Afraid. Everyone's afraid, except me.
Sometimes it takes a certain amount of courage even to be afraid.
A glib excuse for cowardice.
Caiaphas, I was ruling these people even before you were born. I know their temper. I know how far you can go with them. And more important, I know how far you dare not go.
That man must be destroyed.
And what excuse will you give the people when it happens?
We won't give them any excuse. We'll confront them with a fact and make them accept it. You can't argue with a fact.
An enraged people can change facts.
Oh, nonsense. If the man is dead, he's dead. Nothing can change that.
And if he's dead, will our people stand for that? He has healed their sick, made their blind to see, raised their dead. They love him.
Yes, and that's why he must go.
Have you thought of the mobs that will form in front of Pilate's palace before this deed can be done?
Oh, mobs. You're getting old, Annas.
What do you mean by that?
There'll be no mobs.
Tomorrow, when they all go seeking him and don't find him, they'll want to know where he is. They'll suspect some trickery. They'll go to Pilate's palace and demonstrate. And you know how Pilate hates crowds of people in front of the palace.
Listen, by tomorrow, this whole thing will be over.
You have thought this out, haven't you?
Indeed, I have. Before dawn, this thing must be done, finished, complete. If it's to be done at all.
You can't do that. You know you can't.
I know I can.
Pilate must condemn the man to death.
He will.
Why?
The people will force him to.
The people? Are you mad, Caiaphas?
Well, who are the people? A handful of men. 10, 20, 50. How many people make up the people?
Oh, what sort of stupid question is that at such a time as this?
I will supply the people.
The same people who welcomed this man into Jerusalem today, the people who love him. You think they'll turn against him now?
No, but Pilate need never know that.
Oh.
The beggars, the fools, the drunkards, the crooked, they'll be the people before dawn this morning, and I will hire them.
You'd have him caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death before morning?
Yes.
To hold a trial at night and on a holiday is illegal.
You can't do it. I've already issued the orders for the judges to assemble at my palace.
John.
Yes, Peter?
Why here? Why has the master brought us to Gethsemane?
I don't know.
He seems to know that he will die. Everything he has said and done this night shows that.
And if that is so?
What did he mean that he would rise again and go before us into Galilee?
We will have to wait and see.
And when he said that I would deny him 3 times before the cock crows, that can't be.
He knew about Judas.
I won't vouch for anyone else, John. But for myself, I know what I will do. How could I ever deny him? After all he's taught me, after all he's shown me, could I deny him now?
If he said it, it will happen, Peter.
It won't. I tell you, John, it won't happen. I'll never deny him.
Lower your voice, Peter. The others sleep.
I'm tired myself. It's been a long day full of strange incidents.
It's been that.
And now the master kneels off there by himself. Why, John?
He's praying. Praying to his father against The hour of suffering he knows will come.
Then we'd better not talk anymore. We may disturb him.
Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Peter.
Oh, Master, forgive me. I must have fallen asleep.
Should ye not watch with me 1 hour?
Forgive me, Master. John, we've fallen asleep. Wake up. Wake.
Wake?
Yes.
Was I asleep, Peter?
We were all asleep. John, do you hear? Marching feet.
Yes. We'd best lead the Master away from here.
Come, Master, come with us. We'll hide you, keep you safe. Please, Master, this time, come with us.
Rise. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.
John, what shall we do?
What can we do?
I have a sword with me.
Don't use it, Peter. Would you offend him now?
Oh!
Look, Peter, in the flickering light of the torches. Soldiers.
Yes. John, look who's with him.
Judas.
Judas, indeed.
But the Master stands his ground.
He doesn't want to save himself.
He knows it is the will of his Father in heaven.
Well, go on.
It's Judas. He's coming forward toward the Master.
Don't draw your sword, Peter. Not now.
They won't take him. I tell you, they won't take him.
Guards, surround them all. Go ahead, Judas.
He's kissing him.
Hail, Master.
Friend, wherefore are you come?
He's the one. Seize him.
Wait. Don't put a hand on him. The first man who reaches out to touch him will feel this sword in his throat.
Peter, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
But, Master, no.
Please, Peter, do as he says.
They'll take him without a hand reached out to help him.
It is the way he walks.
Surround him. Lead him off. March.
Master. Oh, Master.
Keep marching.
There's more episodes on the way from The Greatest Story Ever Told. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Welcome back to this extended Good Friday edition of the Classic Radio Hour. I'm Barry Slinker. Coming up right now from the greatest story ever told, the episode entitled The Crucifixion, coming to you right now, right here on TalkShoe.com and Old Time Radio USA.
The greatest story ever told. Tonight we present The Crucifixion, the second in a series of three Lenten dramas, The Betrayal, The Crucifixion, and The Resurrection, based upon episodes in the greatest life ever lived. Our scene is Jerusalem, and it is dark. Most of the people sleep. To them, it's like any other holiday night, and they sleep peacefully, not knowing what goes on in the palace of Caiaphas, where the prisoner Jesus of Nazareth is held by guards. There, a group of judges has been assembled, called together hurriedly by Caiaphas himself. But outside, the disciple Peter stands silent, his face is drawn, his eyes reddened by tears. He's startled suddenly by the voice of a young boy at his side.
Please, sir, what's going on in there? Why are all these men here in the middle of the night?
Shh, quiet, boy.
What is it, sir? I heard the chariots tearing through the streets in the middle of the night, so I slipped out of my house to find out why.
They're trying him in there now.
The master?
Yes.
But why?
They fear him, that's why.
Why should anyone fear him?
Because what he teaches would put an end to tyranny. It would expose the traitors among our people who collaborate with the Romans. Most of all, I suppose, because our people follow him. That's why they fear him.
Oh. And they're trying the 12 men who were with him, too?
The 12? No, they're trying them.
Aren't they as dangerous as he is?
I'm afraid not.
They say the same things he says.
They don't have his courage.
Don't tell me that. I saw them only this afternoon, when they came into the city with him. They looked strong and courageous. And especially the one named Peter. He's big and strong and...
Quiet!
I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong?
Don't talk so much, boy.
Yes, sir. Are they in jail, then?
Who?
The 12 who were with him.
No. They're not in jail. And don't ask so many questions.
Yes, sir. I still don't understand why they're not...
Because they ran away. All of them.
No.
Be quiet now. I'm trying to hear what's going on inside.
You know the one called Peter? He looks so...
In heaven's name, be quiet, boy.
Yes, sir.
You see, Annas, I promise you it would all be arranged, and in the dead of night.
I seem to have underestimated you, Caiaphas. Well, now that you have him here, try him.
Get it over with. Don't worry, I will. There's a great deal to do before dawn. I'd better start the trial. Judges, we are gathered here in this emergency session because this is a case which calls for unusual and immediate measures. We'll have the prisoner brought in. Guards.
Is this the prisoner?
It is.
Then we won't try him.
Well, who are you to say?
I am Joseph of Arimathea. By virtue of my standing, I am a judge of this court. And I say, you have nothing against this man.
Allow the case to be presented first before you judge.
I know why he is here. Because he is a friend of the people. And you fear that he'll open their eyes to what you and your father-in-law have been doing for so long. If that's his crime, I say, set him free and place yourself on trial.
As long as authority is vested in me to convene this court, I will run matters here. I say this man stands charged with great crimes, and I have witnesses to prove my charges.
I don't doubt that. You have a way with witnesses, Caiaphas. Why is this man being tried in the middle of the night? Why not wait till morning? Why not give the people of Jerusalem a chance to hear this man and the way he is being judged?
Well, a good question.
Well?
To hold this trial in a city full of thousands of people who have come here to celebrate the holiday and who might have been exposed to this man's teachings might cause much unwanted difficulty.
Are you afraid to face our people with this act? Because it will expose you?
You come close to treason, Joseph.
There's treason here, yes. But the treason is yours. You commit treason when you steal out like a thief in the night to try this man and condemn him behind the backs of the people of Jerusalem. That's treason against the people. Let their voices be heard.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, we have not come here to debate, only to accomplish one thing, the trial of this man. The trial will commence. First witness, step forward.
Can you hear anything, sir?
Quiet, boy.
Do you think they will find him guilty?
Who knows?
Is it true what I heard? They're trying the master in there now.
Yes, it's true.
My father is one of the judges. They woke him in the middle of the night to come here. So I decided to follow and find out why.
Quiet, girl.
I know you.
You talk too much. Be quiet.
But I do know you. I think I've seen you before. With him.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure of it. You were with the master.
That's right. I recognize him now. You're the big, strong man, the one they call Peter.
Quiet, both of you. You don't know what you're saying. I don't know the man.
But I'm sure I...
Quiet. I swear I don't know the man.
But you are a Galilean.
What difference does it make where I came from? Don't talk so loud. I want some of the others to hear you.
But all his friends, the ones who came here with him, they are Galileans, aren't they?
Stop babbling so.
But I'm sure that you are.
Why do you torture me this way? I tell you, I take an oath that I do not know the man. Now be quiet.
But I only asked.
I've told you three times I don't know him. Three times. Leave me alone. Why don't you leave me alone?
He's gone. And he was crying.
Yes. I were a big, strong man like he is. I wouldn't cry. Not ever. Strange. Very strange. Dawn. Pretty soon, it'll be dawn.
Well, Caiaphas, is this the last of your witnesses?
Yes.
And on such testimony, you ask us to convict this man? On the word of witnesses who contradict each other?
Who are you that you've appointed yourself this man's defender?
I am a judge of the court of Israel. And it is my duty to see that justice is enforced here. Shall we take a vote now on whether this man is innocent?
Yes, set him free.
No, no.
There's no guilt proven here.
I don't think we even need take a vote. You have heard the verdict of the High Court.
Now, wait. There's nothing to indicate that this trial is over. How can you judge if you haven't heard all the evidence?
Will we have to sit through more of this testimony from bribed witnesses?
We will recess for a few moments. Annis, what do we do?
I told you. You fool. Did you think you could force this court to convict an innocent man?
Well, I thought they'd welcome the chance.
This has turned into a mockery. And if you had any doubt as to how the people of Jerusalem would look on this, you have your answer now.
Oh, those witnesses are very bad liars.
You expected to fool these judges with prepared witnesses. Are you out of your mind? Justice is a tradition in Israel ever since Moses handed down the law. And you seek to destroy that feeling for justice in this farce of a trial.
Well, shall we dismiss the court? Shall we send them all home, set the man free?
You're in so deep now you can't back out. What would happen tomorrow morning when this becomes known, as it must? The man will be a greater hero than he ever was. What I warned you about. Now you've done it.
Now, please, Annis, now, please, help me. Don't forget that you're in this as deep as I am.
I've never been unaware of that. There is a way.
There is a way? Yeah. Well, what way? Tell me and I'll do it.
One other witness.
The witnesses have failed.
The one I have in mind won't fail.
Who is it?
The Nazarene himself.
What?
Didn't he say only this morning that the temple would be destroyed and that he would rebuild it in 3 days?
Yeah.
Ask him if he thinks he could perform a miracle like that. Better still, ask him if what the people say is true. Is he the Son of God? His own answers will convict him.
You mean blasphemy?
Finally, you understand. Well, get on with it. We've wasted too much time already.
Yes, but...
Don't argue. If he admits it, that will take the decision out of the hands of the judges. Once he pleads guilty to blasphemy, the judges' hands are tied. They must convict.
Yes.
Now hurry.
Yes, Annis. Very good.
The trial will resume.
You have found another witness, perhaps?
Not perhaps, Joseph, indeed. We will call the master himself. You'll take your place as a witness.
Caiaphas, what information do you seek to extract from this witness?
We will find out what he has been preaching.
Do you have to ask him? Why not ask those of us who've heard him preach in the temple? We know what he said.
There may be more.
He's never preached in secret. What more can there be?
If there is no more, then the witness has nothing to fear. Now we'll begin the examination. Nazarene, you've said many things. Some I've heard you say. Others have been reported to me. It's about these things that I would like to examine you. I ask you, are you the Christ, the Messiah, sent to save the world?
If I tell you, you will not believe.
I ask you again, are you the Christ?
Ye say that I am.
I ask you once more, and this time I expect a direct answer. Are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ?
I am.
I tear my garments in accordance with the law. This man has blasphemed in my presence. Now there's only one verdict which you can hand down. Your decision is dictated by the law.
there?
It is Caiaphas. I come to see Pontius Pilate.
He sleep.
Well, then wake him. This is urgent business.
Wait there.
You see, Annas, this will all be over before the people are roused, just as I planned.
Don't be so sure, Caiaphas. Don't forget, we've tried this man for blasphemy.
Yes, and he was found guilty.
For Pilate, that will not be enough, you fool. He'll only act on political crime.
Oh, but don't worry.
I've thought this out.
I'll handle this.
Come in. Pontius Pilate will see you in the great hall.
No, don't lock the door. The guards are coming. They're bringing a prisoner with them.
Yes, sir. This way.
Ah, Pilate. So sorry to have wakened you in the middle of the night.
Come in. Come in, Annas, Caiaphas. Must be important if it brought you here at this time.
Oh, it is. It is indeed. There is a sentence of death to be passed.
Death? Who? Why?
The one called the Master. He's guilty of blasphemy. The court found him so, by his own confession.
Then deal with him in your own way.
Wait, Pilate. There's more here. A crime against Rome.
That's your responsibility.
What do you mean?
The man sets himself up to be a king.
A king?
He claims to be the Christ, the leader of the Jews.
There is only one king for Israel, and his name is Caesar. Who is this man who claims to be a king? Bring him in, guard. Fetch him at once.
Yes, Your Excellency.
We'll see who sets himself up to be a king in this territory of Rome. Huh. A king, indeed.
Yes, and he has many followers. Now, how would it look in Rome if you were faced with the people who disclaim that Rome rules here?
This thing must never happen. I'll stop it.
Pilate, what is all this shouting in the middle of the night?
My dear, I thought I left you sleeping. Gentlemen, my wife.
Good morrow.
Did you hear, my dear? The one they call the Master. Now he's a king.
That man? Oh, Pilate, have nothing to do with that good man.
I'm governor here. I make my own decisions. After all...
Please listen to me, all of you. Before I was awakened, I had a dream.
A dream? Does Rome rule by dreams, Pilate?
Wait, listen to me. I had a dream about this Master.
What sort of a dream?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Please, my dear. Alice is right. I cannot rule by dreams.
But I tell you, I had this dream. It was about him. What happened? I forgot, but I ask you to have nothing to do with this man.
What do you know about him?
Nothing. It was just that dream.
Then you had better go back to bed, my dear. This is a job that calls for a man's mind.
Please, Pilate.
This is men's business, my dear. Please, leave us.
Yes, I'll go. But if only I could remember that dream.
Dream? Well, I'll examine him myself.
Here he is, Your Excellency. The prisoner.
So, this is the one they call the Master. Looks mild enough. Not at all like a king.
Ask him yourself.
Indeed, I will. Tell me, are you the king of the Jews? Well?
My kingdom is not of this world.
Your kingdom? So you do hold pretensions to being a king. Are you a king, then?
Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth.
What is truth? Well, answer me. What is truth? No answer, but that look in his eyes. Why do you accuse me with such a look? Take him away, guard.
Yes, sir. Come with me.
Well, Pilate, that's the man. What are you going to do with him?
A strange man.
And that's where your trouble lies, Pilate.
My trouble?
Of course. When a man like that has so many followers, he's dangerous to Rome. And if he's dangerous to Rome, he's dangerous to you, too.
What can I do with him?
You have the power to put him to death.
Hmm? What about the people?
Oh, they'd approve it. Don't worry about that.
But you say he has many followers.
Well, there are. But there are more people who would want to see him destroyed.
It is something to think about.
It might
be a way to make up for other mistakes.
Ennis, please.
Let him talk. I know I've made mistakes.
And didn't we help you out when you did? When the people were ready to send a delegation to Rome to complain because you insulted the temple by putting images outside of it, who was it who persuaded them not to complain?
You did.
Then take my advice now. Put this man out of the way.
But how will I know if it's what will satisfy the people?
Let them make the choice.
I see. An excellent idea, Anna. Excellent. We will let them decide.
Yes, and do it at once. There's a mob outside the palace gates now.
At this hour?
Of course.
All right. I'll do it. We'll please the people. I'll offer them one prisoner to be freed, as is the custom at holiday time. This man or one other. Now, let me see. Who shall it be? Ah, I have it. The revolutionary Barabbas. The people shall have their choice between the two men. Come. God, silence the crowd.
Quiet! Quiet!
The representative of Rome wishes to be heard.
In accordance with the custom whereby the ruling power in the land grants amnesty to a prisoner on this holiday, I am going to submit to your approval two men. You shall choose which one of them shall go free. The other one shall be put to death, crucified. God, lead out the two prisoners.
You have done your work well, Caiaphas. Where did you ever get such a mob as this together?
Oh, it was very simple. A few coins, some wine, a promise here and there. The whole thing was arranged.
There is no doubt as to how they will choose, is there?
If I wanted to deal with doubt, would I have assembled these beggars so carefully? What's that?
The prisoners.
Look at the master. He's been beaten.
Scourging is a refinement of Roman justice.
And who put a crown of thorns on his head and that purple robe?
Soldier's idea, no doubt. But don't be too concerned. This will work out just as you planned. Quiet.
And now you will have your choice. Here are the two prisoners. This one is Barabbas. You know of him, a revolutionary. He has even killed to throw off the power of Rome. And this one is called Jesus of Nazareth. He claims to be a king. Well, now, which of these two prisoners shall I give to you to be set free?
Yes,
the people have chosen. Turn Barabbas free.
Yes.
Here, I'll take your chains off.
Go, Barabbas. You are free.
And this one, sir?
This one? What shall be done to this one?
Crucify him!
So be it. And he will carry his own cross to Calvary.
Any other orders, Excellency?
Bring me a pitcher of water immediately.
A pitcher of water? Here, Excellency.
Pour it over my hand. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See to it yourselves. Now, get on with this business.
Yes, Excellency. Bring out the cross.
Yes, sir.
The cross. Place it on his back.
Yes, sir. It's done.
Now send him on his way, down the road to Calvary.
John. John, see how he struggles along.
Yes. How he suffers. Look at his face. How does he bear it? Wait, he's falling. I'd better...
You there! Help him up! Carry that cross the rest of the way. All right, Roman. I'll help him.
If we could help him, John.
We can only follow now to the top of the hill.
between two thieves, John.
Yes.
And in the sight of his mother. How she suffers. If we could only comfort her.
Comfort her? In this moment of her greatest suffering?
She can't speak a word.
What can she say? Now that a sword has pierced her soul. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Our last episode of The Greatest Story Ever Told will start right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to the Classic Radio Hour. I'm Barry Slinker. Our final episode of The Greatest Story Ever Told, entitled The Resurrection. Coming to you right now, right here on the Classic Radio Hour.
The Greatest Story Ever Told. Tonight we present The Resurrection, the third in a series of three Lenten dramas, The Betrayal, The Crucifixion, and The Resurrection, based upon episodes in The Greatest Life Ever Lived. Outside the gates of a Roman palace in Jerusalem, the palace of Pontius Pilate, there is now no hired mob. Only one man approaches the gates, and the guard challenges him.
Who goes there?
I am Joseph of Arimathea. I have come to see Pontius Pilate.
Matter of life and death, I suppose. That's what they always say.
This is a matter only of death. It concerns the burial of a man. That can't wait.
We'll see. Sergeant of the Guard, man who calls himself Joseph of Arimathea wants to talk to His Excellency. Says it concerns the burial of a man. What shall I do?
Have him wait. We'll see.
You heard?
Yes. I'll wait.
Hey, did you hear about the excitement this morning?
Yes, I did.
Crazy, isn't it? Man getting himself killed over a few words? You know, they'd have let him off if he'd only said he didn't mean it.
Yes.
Imagine a man dying for words. Why? What's it get him?
Something you Romans haven't discovered yet.
Maybe not. When I saw him staggering down that road carrying that cross on his back, I said to myself, there goes a fool or the bravest man that ever lived.
He was no fool.
You know, they don't come any braver than Roman soldiers. Everybody in the world knows that. But they couldn't get one of us to die just for a few words. No, sir. We've got to know what we're dying for. Land or treasure. Something real, something hard, something a man can see and feel, not just words.
Guard, you may bring the man in. Pilate will see him.
Aye, sir. All right. Come along. I'll take you to His Excellency.
Oh, it's you, Joseph. Well, what can I do for you?
Your Excellency, a man has died on a cross, on Calvary. I would like to have his body released.
You knew the man?
I did.
And you want to show him the honor of burying him? Why?
Do I have to tell you why?
I thought you hated him.
I didn't hate him. I had nothing to fear from him. He was my friend.
Friend?
Yes. He was friend to every man who'd let him be a friend.
And yet your people asked to have Barabbas freed instead of him.
My people? Oh, no, Pilate. A hired mob paid to stand outside your palace gates. A mob speaking on cue like actors on a Roman stage. They asked for Barabbas.
But they told me
they told you. Pilate. I'm afraid as a Spanish warrior serving Rome, you're strong and cunning. But as a statesman, you're weak and innocent as a baby.
How dare you speak to me that way?
Since last night, I've come to dare many things. From now on, the truth will be spoken more freely in this land. For one man has shown us that it's not so hard to die for truth.
Truth. Yes, I remember. I asked him, what is truth?
And he answered?
with his eyes only. But it was enough. Such a man deserves a decent burial. You may have the body.
Thank you, Pat.
How will you bury him?
I have a tomb, which I had bought for myself. A cave carved out of rock. He shall lie there.
And the manner of burial?
In the custom of my people, of course. The multitude loved him. He was one of us. How much they loved him, you'll know before long.
You are threatening again.
To men who bow to political expediency, any fact can be a threat. You'll find that out, pilot. Yes. You'll find that out.
You sent for us, pilot. Why?
I sent for you because of the way Joseph of Arimathea spoke. It had a nasty undertone. If there's going to be trouble, you'll have to patch up things or face the consequences, Anna.
Wait, pilot. You can't be swayed by every breeze that blows. As for explaining this to the people, don't worry. We'll do that. But why did Joseph come here? Just to make threats?
No. He asked for permission to bury him.
And when you refused, he began making the threat?
I didn't refuse.
But?
The man deserved a decent burial, didn't he?
Yes, after all, Anna's out of harm's way now.
Don't you understand what's happened here?
What do you mean?
You suspect something, Anna?
Of course. It's not the burial that's important.
What do you think he means to do with the body, if not bury it?
Of course he'll bury it. But that's only the beginning. You've heard them, his disciples, talking about the fact that one day he would rise. Even he himself gave an inkling of it when he said, the temple would be destroyed and he would rebuild it within 3 days.
The temple? What's that got to do with it?
Everything. It was not the temple he spoke of at all, but the temple of the soul, which is the body. He meant that his body would be destroyed and that it would rise in 3 days.
It is impossible. Isn't it, Anna?
You know that? I know that. But if the body were to be buried, and then were to be secreted away in the dark by night by his followers, they could claim that he had risen and gone off by himself. Don't you see?
Yes.
It's too late. Joseph's claimed the body already.
But we can use his own plot to confound him. We can make sure the body never arises. It stays in the tomb past the 3 days. We'll place a guard there. We'll seal the tomb.
Place a guard?
With your permission, of course.
And if I refuse?
Would you refuse, pilot?
I've had enough of this. I've washed my hands of the whole thing. I'm sick of it.
Have you ever been in a storm at sea, pilot?
Of course.
And been sick from time to time?
I'm a soldier, not a sailor. Yes, I've been sick at sea.
It's the same in this case. Sick as you may be, you're in this now. You better stay with the ship till we all reach shore. Do you understand?
Joseph was right. I'm not much of a politician. All right. You may place a guard.
Thank you, pilot. Now we'll go and take care of matters. Come along, son-in-law.
Yes, Anna.
Captain, have your guards roll a huge rock up to the entrance of the tomb. It must be so large that it cannot be moved even by 5 men. Do you understand, Captain?
Yes, sir.
And it must cover the whole entrance to the tomb so that none can enter it, even the smallest child.
Yes, sir. We'll search for the rock at once.
There is no need to do that. I noticed one as we passed by on the way. Leave 2 men to guard the tomb. Bring the rest of them with me. We'll put the rock in place now.
More, men. Is that enough, Annis?
Roll it closer. There's still some space between the rock and the entrance to the tomb. Closer.
All right, men. Again.
Good. That's fine. Now remember, Two men must stand guard each hour of the day and night. Is that understood?
Yes, sir. It will be done.
Now, Caiaphas, there'll be no false miracles here. No disciples stealing in during the dark of night and carrying off the body. It's in there to stay.
Back and forth, back and forth. And what for?
Who knows? Who's afraid of a dead man?
Ah, there's some people who think it's their duty to find things for soldiers to do.
Yeah, like guarding a stone that guards a tomb. Oh. Well, keep walking.
Wait.
What? What is it?
Someone's coming.
Get ready for trouble. That's your spear?
Yeah, but there'll be no trouble. Look, two women.
This is the place, Mary. He lies here. Yes. We must wait here. And pray. The Master. He suffered so.
Well, what do you want here, woman?
The Master lies in there. We've come to mourn.
No one is to loiter here.
Is it loitering to mourn for the dead?
Hey, wait, I know you. Aren't you the one they call Mary of Magdalene?
I am.
When I'm dead, I don't want the likes of you mourning for me.
You'll not talk that way to her.
I'll not take orders from you either. Now, move on.
Oh, please. Please allow us to remain here. Just let us stay for a while, and we'll go soon without a word.
You won't make any bargains with me. Come on, move on, both of you.
Don't touch her.
I'll do what I choose to do when I...
Thunder. Thunder out of a cloudless sky. Thunder.
The rock. It moves. It moves by itself. Tell you we saw it.
Say it once more, Mary. I can't believe it.
Please, Peter, she's upset.
We saw it. The thunder first, and then the rock slowly rolled away. The guards were struck senseless.
And then we ran to tell you, John. Oh.
Please, don't weep.
Can this be a trick, John? Maybe they've tried to steal his body away. Shouldn't we go and see?
By all means, come, Peter. We'll go to the tomb.
Oh, wait. Wait, I'll go with you.
It's true. True, the rock is rolled away. Hurry, Peter, hurry.
I see, John. Should we go in?
I don't know.
But I must see. I'm going in, John. So dark. It's difficult to see. Wait. Feel something. The shroud. Empty. He's gone. Gone.
Come, Peter. We must tell the others. We must find out what has happened here. If we can. Come, quickly.
What did you find?
He's gone, Mary.
Gone? It can't be true.
But it is. Now we must go back and tell the others. Are you coming with us?
No, I'll wait here. I'll wait here.
You may be in danger.
Leave me. I'll wait here alone.
Take care, Mary.
Gone. Gone.
Woman... Why weepest thou?
Whom seekest thou?
They have taken away my lord. And I don't know where they have placed him. If you are the gardener here, tell me, please. Have you removed him from here? Tell me where, and I will take him away.
Mary.
Master. Master.
Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God.
It can't be! It can't be!
Don't shout so, Caiaphas.
Well, it's a trick! You want me to believe that the stone rolled away by itself?
I don't want to believe it either, but...
But what?
Thunder, rock moving. Sword move. Sword move.
Oh, stop jabbering, you idiot, and get out of here!
Come, we'll go.
Thunder, rock rolling. Rolling, and nobody there.
Get out! Get out! What kind of a trick was it, Annis? You know about these things. You know everything. Tell me.
I know everything. Yes.
What could it have been? You're frightened. Eh, Caiaphas? Well, I'm not frightened. I'm bewildered. I don't know what... I don't know.
You don't know. After all this, now you begin to realize you don't know.
You're frightened, Caiaphas. I can see it in your coward's face.
Now, please, Alice, please, don't talk that way to me. Maybe I have made a mistake, but I meant it only for the best, for both of us.
Quiet. They ran away. All his followers ran away. Like frightened sheep.
Yes, and that part worked, didn't it?
Did it?
Why do you look at me that way?
Fool, fool, fool.
What is it?
Yes, they ran away. And if we had kept him in jail, they would have... stayed away.
Well, we did better.
Yes,
we killed him.
We did better. They'll be back. All of them. In just as long as it takes for the word to travel, they'll be...
Don't you realize what has happened? He's shown them that you can die with grace and courage for an idea that you believe in. And that dying that way means more than living... any other way. It's been proven. Proven.
Alice, what is it? Listen to me.
Listen to you. You wonder why I laugh. You can wonder. You, a stupid fool, risen to power through lies and dishonesty. You had a hand in proving so great a thing. History has played you a strange, vengeful trick, Caiaphas. You should complain against it, for it has placed your littleness against the greatness of this thing that has happened. You miserable, lying traitor.
Me, traitor?
You betrayed a whole people with this rotten deed. But as the Master himself might have said, God have mercy on you.
I don't like the way you're talking, Alice. We can brazen this thing out. If we don't, the people will take their revenge on us.
Let them. I won't fight it. For I have seen it. I should have known when Pilate asked him, what is truth? And he answered only with his eyes. He is truth, Caiaphas, and truth murdered and buried will rise.
as it always has.
And always will. You believe this? You believe what has happened? Tell me, do you, Annis?
I almost wish I didn't.
And he spoke to me. Believe me, John. Peter, he spoke to me.
We believe, Mary.
And I denied him. 3 times.
Please, Peter, don't think of that now. You were no less courageous than the rest of us.
And when he used to call us, ye of little faith, I didn't know what he meant. But when danger came, we were of little faith.
But now, he is risen. Risen, Peter.
Will he ever forgive us for what we did?
Before we deserted him, he knew and forgave. Now he sent Mary to tell us that he is risen. Come, Peter, we must gather the others. We must stand together. And from now on, we shall never be afraid again. Come.
I just received the word. I came here as quickly as I could.
Were you followed, Thomas?
No, the city is quiet. No more guards than usual. Tell me what I heard. Is it true? Can it be true?
Yes, Thomas. It is true.
All the way here, I said it over and over to myself. And?
And?
I could not believe.
Did you hear what Thomas said, John?
Thomas, if he hadn't appeared to us after Mary had seen him, perhaps we would not believe either. But we saw him. We saw him.
Now do you believe?
Don't all look at me that way. Is it my fault if I'm skeptical by nature? Sometimes I wish I didn't doubt so much. I do. I cannot believe unless my doubts are satisfied.
But the rest of us believe, Thomas.
Have I ever been like the rest of you? Wanted to be? I'm not. When he lived...
He still lives, I tell you.
Please, Peter, let him say it in his own way.
Thank you, John. When he lived, he indulged my doubts. He explained to me. Taught me patiently. Now that he's gone, I'd be content with less. I want to believe. I want to believe.
Please, Thomas.
You must understand, John. I can't believe, not until I see the nail wounds in his hands, the wound the soldier's spear made in his side. Else, I will not believe.
Master. Master.
Is he?
Master, it is you.
Peace be to you.
Master, Master, you know me well. I am Thomas, and being Thomas, I doubt. I must have proof before I believe.
Thomas, reach out thy finger and behold my wounds.
Yes, Master. The nail wounds. The wounds.
And bring hither thy hand and put it into my side.
A wound. Soldier's spear.
Oh, Master, Master.
And be not faithless, but believing.
My Lord and my God.
Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
That's all we have time for today on this special Good Friday edition of the Classic Radio Hour. For more information on this podcast, please go to www.oldtimeradiousa.com. Thank you for listening, everybody, and until next time, this is Barry Slinker saying goodbye for now.